Welcome everybody, and so with this particular approach with the meditation, because the weather's it's warming up quite a bit, but luckily we've got the aircon, and sometimes people feel that when they do their meditation, even on a day-to-day basis, that they may feel that they don't have enough, mental energy, or they feel a bit distracted, or it's quite difficult to settle down. And why would this be? When you look at the nature of your mind, why is it, even though meditation's so simple, why is it so difficult to do? And for the majority of us, it's essentially our emotional makeup which makes it difficult to really get peaceful and calm quite quickly. And so all the all the strong views and opinions and the attachments that we have, and the way just the way the world affects us, and the kind of karma that we come to this life as a human being has the potential to slow us down. So how do we manage to let go of all this stuff which is spinning around in the mind, which is not particularly useful for us? And so over the being in the monastery for years on end, I tend to use fairly firm techniques, and these particular techniques are worth knowing for anyone who like really struggles with meditation, as the body based techniques. You can use the central theme is this perception of changeability, which the Buddha recommended in the suttas on multiple occasions, and the whole purpose of this is to increase letting go, detachment, which is exactly what you need with the meditation process. And so, but you can actually take this a step further. You can use I say this repeatedly, but it works really, really well once you start to get a rolling and get a feel for it. And the perception of changeability can be based on absolutely anything. Absolutely anything you see in the world, that you see inside one's mind. It can be thoughts and feelings and perceptions and ideas, views, opinions, consciousness. So all these different principles can be used in this kind of single or multiple mantra format. It could be absolutely thousands and thousands of these different principles, but the emphasis is to look at one's mind and body, and to look at the world as within the context of a process of change. And when you do this, you start to, as it could take at least a couple of weeks, a couple of months for it to really kick in, but you start to see the mind sort of loosen its grip on all the different experiences, the ideas that we have inside our with every single one of us, within our minds. That's going to be the main area of obstruction. But if you really struggle with meditation, you can take it a step further and do the body based changeability practice, where the very easy ones to deal with are just the parts of the body that you can see, the head hair, body hair, nails, teeth, skin, and you just use one. When I'm in the monastery, I probably do this at least an hour and a half every single day, at least, maybe up to 2 hours, and it's a very comfortable practice, even though people think, oh my God, you know, you want to reflect on the changeability of teeth or head hair, but it's not something which leads to like negativity. When you use these single mantras, you can do them quite comfortably, and you know, you look at it from the viewpoint of insight, because you know by constantly reflecting on changeability, you're provoking might be the wrong word, but you're encouraging an attitude of which is based on reality, because you know no one can argue that everything in this universe, everything inside this mind and body, everything in the universe is in a constant state of change. So when you emphasize that point inside your mind, you're actually according your mind with the ultimate reality of the universe in this very small way. But the effect is quite quite beneficial. So you know you can do things. You know you can be absolutely any. Especially like skeletons, very very good because it's such a visual image. It may not be everybody's cup of tea, but you can choose a part of the body which is very very comfortable. But you know if you're interested in meditation and you want to increase one's letting go, one's detachment very quickly, it's a good principle to work with, or you can work with the more soft, you know, sort of soft and fluffy practices, you know, anything that you see externally in nature, anything on the level of biology, chemistry, physics, even quantum physics. Now, you could be a person who's really into quantum physics. You can choose any, theory of change or, like concepts. You can even use the word concepts are changeable, and then you see the effect on the mind, because if you're going to be practicing for at least several years, 5 years, 10 years, you don't want to waste too much time, because with all of us, you know, we only have a limited amount of time up our sleeve, and we can't guarantee you exactly what's going to happen down the track, you know, in several years' time. You know, many of us, the monks tend to do funerals on a regular basis, and there's just more and more incidents of say cancer coming up, and with people's karma as well. You know, one day you can be alive and happy and smiling, and then get something can come up, some kind of condition, some kind of disease process, and then you're in trouble. So, you know, it's good to get a really firm grounding with the practice. You just do what's comfortable. You can work with this in a very, non-threatening kind of format, where you can essentially easily do it for 30 minutes an hour and get the maximum benefit from the practice. So I want you to choose absolutely any principle that you see within the universe, and it could even be things like the planets, the moon, the sun. It could be absolutely anything on a universal level, and then just use that in a small mantra format. So because it's fairly cool in here, so we won't have too much problem, but something just a very slight change is we'll just for maybe the first 5 minutes we'll just ground your attention into the physical body, and then we'll move to the breath meditation. So with the beginning instructions, just get yourself in a comfortable position with your spine straight and your head upright and comfortable, and when you cross one's ankles and you place your hands together, that it helps to draw the energy inwards towards the center of the body, and that's something you can feel. And I just want you to focus on the feelings, say in your hands. You can either be, so like maybe an ankle where your ankle or your foot touches the floor or touches a cushion, and a kind of sort of space which is fairly tangible. You can recognize it quite easily. And then I want you to choose any kind of mantra format, the changeability mantra, which is suitable for you. It can be absolutely anything. And so the way it works is as you breathe out, it could be, say, like elements, the four elements which make up the universe in general, the Buddhist principles of say earth, wind, water, fire. You know, as you're breathing out elements, and then breathing in, leave a space, breathing out, are changeable. Breathing in, breathing out, elements. Breathing in, leave a space, breathing out, are changeable. So you just have to do it in a very, very relaxed, comfortable way. So just just focus on your hands or a comfortable part of the body, and choose a small mantra to work within that format, and we'll do that for 5 minutes, and then we'll switch to the breathing meditation. switch our attention to the breathing meditation. So maintain your mantra if it's comfortable for you. And I want you to focus on the feelings around the mouth. So as you focus on the mouth, you'll feel the breathing cycle on the periphery. And the reason I do this is it's very, very distinct, very, very clear. It stands out and it's quite comfortable. And you can track it without great difficulty. And so if you maintain your mantra if possible and continue with the breathing meditation at that point. you find that you're thinking a little bit excessively, just don't so reject or oppose those thoughts at this point. Just relax and allow them just to be part of the meditation field at this point. Anyone who feels a bit tired or lethargic, just try to breathe fully into the lower abdomen and maximize the oxygen supply in the bloodstream. if the thinking process is still a little bit excessive, try to look at those feelings, those thoughts and feelings on the level of insight. Try to, you know, try to understand the attachments, you know, what you're thinking about and why and where and for what reason. Because when you, you know, when you investigate these mind states, these states of, say, attachment to agree to a degree, that when you reflect and you understand and the mind understands, it relaxes its grip and it lets go slowly over time. So we're coming towards the end of the meditation. So just reflect back and see what works for you to induce tranquility. I'll ring the gong 3 times. You can open your eyes when you're ready. So, from Anik, how do you meditate for the first time in life? My friends want me to try this and I want to give her the best advice. The guidelines I tend to go for is to start with the breath meditation and just use wherever you can feel the breath meditation most clearly. In the body, it could be, you know, in the middle of the chest, could be at the abdomen, could be at the throat, in the full face. That's the best point to start with. And usually, naturally, people don't settle down that quickly. And something I tend to do in a fairly short space of time is, you know, if I don't even start to get peaceful within the first 5 minutes, I usually switch to the second half of the practice, which is, say, like the understanding, you know, understanding one's thoughts and feelings, because everyone is capable of very, very deep, say, deep and profound meditation. The only thing which really stops you is, all of us, you know, we think too much, and you think about things which may not be really necessary at all. You're just, you know, you're drawing mental energy for no real purpose. So, like a raw beginner, just start with the breath meditation. Find the right location in the body where it's very good, very clear. For some people, it's clear where you can feel the mouth. Some people, it's clear at the center of the chest. So you make the decision, and then say meditate. You know, if people can't get peaceful whatsoever after 30 minutes, and the mind just feels like a complete mess. You know, always switch to wisdom. Always keep the two sides of the practice, because when you do samadhi meditation, you're using a degree of effort, a small degree of force and energy, but it's not the totality of the business. The wisdom faculty should always be at the same level or slightly higher than the samadhi practice, because as soon as you stop thinking, you just automatically go into very, very deep meditation. It's just effortless. So people, you know, people can get, they can get maybe a bit confused, distracted. They think, oh God, I just can't get it together. My mind's a complete mess. But it's only the thoughts. You know, you have strong feelings. You have excessive mental activity. The two go together. If emotionally you are very, very cool, you could settle down very quickly. But it's that thinking process which essentially that's the main obstruction. That's the only thing which stops you from getting very, very deep meditation and deep insight. And so, you know, after 30 minutes, you know, it's still very busy. And then, you know, try to understand yourself. You know, what are you holding on to? What's blocking you? What's obstructing you? You know, if there's some personal difficulties, you know, where is the sticking point? You know, what exactly are you holding on to and why? Because as soon as you release that, the mind just automatically drops to a deeper level. And if you switch back and forth, even you might think it might sound a little bit over the top, but every 5 minutes you go from the breath meditation to investigation, you know, look at directly at what is stopping you from getting calm, and then back to the breath, and then after 5 minutes to reflection, and you're developing like a level of skillfulness there. You can watch, to give you an example, you can watch the breathing for years and years and years and years, and you can, you know, it might be a little bit of a struggle with you, but you, at some point, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, you're going to have to start investigating. It's, you know, it's really quite crucial, because the samadhi is only half the business. The wisdom component of meditation practice, that's got far more power than samadhi will ever have. You know, when it comes to effort and energy, so for example, people who approach meditation initially trying to use strong effort and effort and energy to suppress their thoughts, to control their thoughts, it's going to work to a point, but it loses its effectiveness. Eventually, you know, once you realize that you're not really getting very far, you've got to switch to investigation, and you keep switching back and forth. Just you know, you feel it out. Look at the results. Look at exactly how the meditation practices is going. Am I getting less irritable? Am I getting less distracted? You know, why am I so concerned about work? Why do I keep thinking about work? You know, I've clocked off, and I've done my eight or 10 hours at work, and I'm still thinking about my job. You know, my projects. You know, this and that. So when you go home, that's your time. It's not work time. So. So people who have there's a couple of little tricks. Say for example, people who struggle a little bit with the breathing meditation, a way of moving your attention away from thoughts and excessive thinking is to go to physical sensation in the body. You focus on the feeling in the hands, the foot on the floor, your bottom on the cushion, which is a fairly wide area. You want to go a bit sharper than that. It could be any part of the body which really stands out, is tangible. So you draw your attention from thinking to feeling, physical feeling, and you find that the mind it may be much easier to quieten down. And plus, you, if you're emotionally charged, you can actually release that emotional energy, at least to a small degree. It helps to ventilate the emotional energy and actually to release it. You know, you could have someone. It goes to sit, and they're really emotionally, they're maybe quite intense, quite worked up. Could be stress, you know, at work and this and that, or looking after the kids. And as soon as you go to feeling, that if there's any underlying suppressed emotional stuff deeper down, you can actually just bring that up to the surface quite quickly, focusing on sensation and just get the say like excessive emotional energy, just help to clear that from the mind. And another little method is to, you know, if you're a person whose mind is just absolutely racing, it's moving at 100 miles an hour all day and night, well, use thinking as your meditation object, because you will still develop eventually a degree of peace and calm by focusing on thinking. Because when you do that, you will develop a small degree of insight within a short space of time, because you're focusing on exactly where the business is, you're focusing on where your habits and your attitudes and your views and opinions, you know, you can see them working and spinning and connecting and thoughts connecting with different feelings and connecting with different thoughts and locations, times, places and people. Then you start to understand how you work, because you're watching your thinking, your thought patterns, and then you start to get a sense for you know, what motivates you, what increases all this, you know, what's responsible for all this proliferation, and why do I keep thinking about all these people, for what, you know, work situation, business, money, this kind of thing. You want a situation eventually where it might take a couple of years, but where you can take care of your duties, responsibilities, with family life, with work, you know, this and that, and then as soon as the business is finished, your responsibilities, then the mind just automatically goes to a more peaceful state. You engage and activate the mind when it's necessary, and as soon as you finish with your personal stuff, the mind just automatically calms down. So that's what you're aiming for eventually in day-to-day life, which is much more difficult for the lay practitioners, because you've got so much more on your plates, and you've got so much more sensory input coming into your mind. So you have to process all that stuff before you can get a peaceful state, but watching thinking will actually give you insights into your character, your personality, why you think so much in the first place. Were there any other questions at all? Okay, well,
What do you recommend to do about dreaminess?
Sorry, speak right close to the mic.
What do you recommend that we do about dreaminess?
Dreaminess. What I would do is, if I was getting a little bit too dreamy, I would keep my eyes open. Keep my eyes open, and if I was still a little bit distracted, and I kept sort of fading away, and getting caught in any kind of sort of daydream kind of mentality. Just more deep breathing. You want to increase the alertness, the physical and the mental alertness, because you find that when people start to nod off, they're not breathing properly. Their chests start to collapse, and they're not breathing fully into the lower abdomen, and getting enough oxygen to the brain, to the physical body, and you can also just use it as a reflection. As soon as you start to see yourself daydreaming, start to use some insight, because the more sharp and aware you make your mind. So, for example, you're an individual who easily goes off into daydreams with the meditation practice. Teach yourself, make your mind more sharp and aware. If I have a difficulty with daydreaming, I go straight to it. I don't try and struggle with the practice and this and that. If there's something obstructing me, you go right to the heart of the matter, and I think to myself, why am I fading away? Why am I going off into dreamy states, semi-conscious states? And actually, people have to teach themselves, because the mind in itself, the mind doesn't understand. It's like you have to use your intellect, your thinking, investigation to increase your understanding and awareness of how you work, how you tick. Because for example, if I was quite dreamy and I paid no attention to this, I allowed it just to go on and on and on, it's not really going to stop because my understanding is not in place. So the wisdom, I always push this, the wisdom faculty is very important. If any problems, difficulties, obstructions, any blocks come up, you go straight to investigation, and then you see the mind get sharper, faster. You start to catch these kind of mental states much more quickly, and you're able to resolve them more effectively over time. And if you find it, if you still get caught by these states, I would focus more on feeling. And if I still kept spacing out, I would do, say, standing meditation, walking, focusing on the sensation in the feet while I was standing meditation, or just find a little walking path somewhere, say at least 15 paces, and slow walk meditation. You could take maybe even a full, just to walk 15 paces, you could take a full 30 seconds or more to walk from one end to the other, maybe in the corridor or in the house. And if you want to be walking there for 30 minutes or an hour every day, just get a piece of old carpet roll, and just lay it down and use that as your path if you're in the middle of the house or if you're on plush, on plush carpet. And yeah, so that's basically it. Okay, I don't think there's anyone else. We'll call it an afternoon, and we'll head off.